Good to see all your faces again. Most of them I know them, some I don't. It's interesting, well, I think it's interesting. If I hadn't been asked to speak on a particular subject, I would have spoken on the Lord's Prayer. Interesting, isn't it? I would have spoken on Deliver Us From Evil this morning, but they Ben asked me if I'd speak on Mark 14, because you're doing a series on Mark. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 14 and continue your series on Mark. Let's pray. Father, we recognize afresh just our need of your presence, our need of your life, our need of your encouragement, our need of one another, and our need for encouragement from one another. But we thank you this morning. We are here in your presence, in the presence of our Heavenly Dad, who likes to encourage us, speak to us, build us up, and make us more like Jesus. And Lord, I just pray this morning, as we've been together, as we've worshipped, we're thankful for the worship team that led us, Father. We want to pray that as we go out this morning, we'll be closer to Jesus than when we came in. And we'll have more to give this week, wherever we find ourselves. Whether we find ourselves in school, the office, or a factory, or a typist, or a dentist, or a cleaner-upper, or whatever we find ourselves at home with the children, we'll have more in our lives because we've been together in the presence of Jesus. And we just ask you now, in Jesus' name, amen. I made a PowerPoint for this, which I trust is going to work. So we're looking at Mark chapter 14. Let's read the caption I was given, and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. In the 2 days before the eight-day festival of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread would begin. The high priests and religious scholars were looking for a way they could seize Jesus and kill it by stealth and kill him. They agreed that it should not be done during the Passover. We don't want the crowds up in arms, they said. Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper. While he was eating at dinner, a woman came carrying a very expensive perfume. Opening the bottle, she poured it on Jesus' head. Some of the guests were furious with themselves. This act is criminal, a sheer waste. This perfume could have been sold for a year's wages and handed out to the poor. They swelled with anger. They nearly burst inside with the indignation over her. Jesus said to them, "Let her alone. Why are you giving her a hard time? She had done something wonderful and significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day of the rest of your lives. Whenever you feel like it, you can do something for them. But it's not so with me." And this is the key phrase I want to put in your mind. She did what she could when she could. She did what she could when she could. She has pre-anointed my body for burial. And you can be sure that where the whole world, the message is preached, what she's did is going to be talked about and admired. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12, went to the Carab, the high priest, and was determined to betray him. They could not believe their ears and promised to pay him well. He started looking for just the right moment to hand Jesus over. Well, an interesting story. So look at the PowerPoint. There she is. She's pouring oil over his head. She's expressing what was in her heart. She was doing it to the nth of her generosity. Now, if you took it up to today, a labourer would probably earn about 20,000 a year. Is that right? Somebody working on a building site, probably £20,000 a year. She used a year's wages in those terms and gave it all. There was something about Jesus that she poured everything out she had. In those days, when they had a bottle of perfume like that, it was like a pension. They kept that sort of thing for a pension, so she'd have income in her old age. So basically what she did, she poured out a pension and all her inheritance and everything on Jesus. And they were sitting at table. Can we have the next one? So there were three important things. The perfume was brought, the alabaster box, jar was opened, and she anointed Jesus. Now, there's three interesting things I've never seen before until I looked this time. The only trouble with these things, they switch off to save power when you look at reading the scriptures. So I'll have to put it on don't switch off, but I haven't remembered. The interesting thing I picked up in verse 1, the chief priests and scribes were seeking to kill Jesus. In verse 10, Judas was seeking to get Jesus killed. And in this lady, what she did was preparing Jesus for burial, according to Jesus. So it's all about the death of Jesus. I've never seen that before. And one thing we can see in this, Judas responds to extravagance towards Jesus. This woman was extravagant, generous. And Judas' response was, got to get him killed. We have another slide. You see what the response was? What's your response if somebody got really carried away this morning and danced their socks off and full of sweat in the meeting? Nobody did it, but just if they did, what would your heart be? Show off. Show off. You know, I read a testimony, and it was about a well-known preacher, it wasn't me, and he went to this meeting, and while he was at this meeting, this man who had spina bifida, so his coordination was not coordinated, and this young man went out to the front, at the side, and he danced his heart out, and this guy said in his heart, "That was the most uncoordinated thing I've ever seen." And the Holy Spirit spoke back to him and said, "That's the most beautiful thing I've seen for a long time in worship." This man was so convicted. See, he was looking on the outside. What's going on the inside? They were indignant. In one of the translations, it said they scolded her strongly. They weren't benevolent in their attitude. Move on to the next slide. Now, in the tradition of those days, Jesus came in, he should get a kiss. That was the tradition. They had a little stool. He sat on the stool. They brought water out. They washed his feet in the water. And then what they did, they anointed his head with olive oil. Do you know, she could have used olive oil and it would have been totally accepted. And it would have been enough. But there was something in her love for Jesus that went beyond what was normal. She could have used olive oil. She could have saved her inheritance. She could have saved her 20,000. But she didn't, because once that bottle was broken and opened, it was gone. That was it. You couldn't use it again. But what you notice, and this is similar to, there's another one later on where a lady went even further than this. You see, when she anointed Jesus and fully expressed what was in her heart, everybody was affected. It says the house, in the other version, the whole house smelled of the fragrance. Do you know when you and I really let go what's in our hearts, in our adoration to Jesus, it affects everybody else. Now, it's not always positive response you get. But notice what Jesus said about this lady. He said there in verse 9, "You can be sure wherever in the whole world this message is preached," that's the Bible now, she did is going to be talked about. Just think, this happened 2,000 years ago, and we're talking about an anonymous lady. Doesn't even tell us her name. But there was something about the response of her heart that Jesus said, through the Holy Spirit, to the writers of the Bible, record this. Do you know, I reckon when we get to heaven, in the book of remembrance that Malachi 4 talks about, there'll be lots of things. And I was in Holland years ago, and I saw a picture in a vision. I saw the book of remembrance, and I saw some things written in it. Do you know those times when you and I, in the quiet of our hearts, have offered something to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit says, I've seen that. Get it wrote down. Get it wrote down. Write it down. We have the next one. A modern way, if somebody came, you might say, this is a modern version. You take somebody's coat, you give them a drink, you turn the TV off, and you welcome. That would be our equivalent. But what she did was for her day. All right, we have the next one. I want to see this. This is supposed to show isolation. Do you know, she poured a house and she was totally isolated because of it. They weren't happy. They weren't hunky-dory. They were mad. When's the last time you and I have expressed something so pure and so from our hearts that everybody else has got mad around us? Do you see the depth of when we express something to Jesus that's really from the depths of us? Now, if I said to you this morning, right, can you all cough up 20,000 towards this mission? Most of you would probably say, well, I would say, well, I haven't got 20,000. I haven't got 20,000. But I'll tell you what, you've got something. You've got something. You see, when we think about this woman being totally generous with what she had, we think, oh, that's wonderful. What a wonderful expression. But let's be practical. Generosity is more than money. Do you know, I was listening to Bill Johnson this morning. This might be a challenge for you. He said, you see people who are not generous when they turn up to the meeting late every week. He said, it's a lack of generosity with your time. How generous are you with your time? How generous are you in your relationships? How generous are you in looking out for other people who may be having a bit of a tough time? This is a practical application of this. Generosity. Generosity. You know, we've seen a few folks in the last week, and one or two people feel a bit lonely. Are you generous to look out for those who are lonely? To have an eye out, they're struggling a bit, put your arms around them, give them a hug. I read a wonderful testimony a little while ago, and it was this lady, and she was walking across London Bridge. She was in a desperate state. She was thinking of jumping over and finishing it. She was so desperate. And walking past her were all the city people, the men of London, all dressed in the suits, and some of them had hats on as well, bowler hats and that sort. And she was stood there, and the crowd was all going past her, and she just felt desperate and lonely. And then this man, he had a top hat on, he had a suit on, he had his umbrella, and he had his briefcase all pucker. And he was walking back, and he came to this lady, and he stopped, he looked at her. Do you know what he did? He took his top hat off, he put his briefcase down, he put his umbrella down, and he went to this lady, and he just put his arm around her and gave her a hug and said, I really think you need this, don't you? And he hugged her for ages. And then he said, bye, and he picked his briefcase up, put his hat on, and he went into town. Do you know that changed her life? What about you? You might not be a huggy person. But do you know sometimes a hug you might give to that lonely person might change their life? Generosity. I'll have a look what I should have said. I haven't looked at my notes yet. Oh, there's a picture of Judas. Can we have that? See, he's scheming to get money to get rid of Jesus. He was annoyed at this woman's generosity. He was annoyed. He was angry. Over the next one. Will our lordship involve real submission to Jesus? Will we freely worship Jesus, who we are, or we conform to the crowd? Now, when you're here, I only visit so I can say what's free in my heart. When you come on a Sunday morning, you sit on your seat and you're glue on your bottom. And there's something bounding and bubbling in your heart, but you know it stays there. You meanie for not giving it. You know, generosity would say, God's put something in my heart, it's bubbling. I want to share it with other people. And it might be something so simple. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine who's died now, he was struggling. He's a real man, was a real man of God and still is in heaven. And he came to me one day, and he's quite a well-known speaker and all that sort of stuff. And he said, Rodney, would you seek God for me? So I thought, oh, here's my big chance. This famous person's coming to me and asking me to give him a word. And I'm like, all right, Lord, give me something really, whoa. And I got the word peace. And I'm saying, Lord, give me more. I didn't get any more. So I said to this man who was really struggling, I said, all God wants to say is peace. And he went, whoa, that's just what I wanted to hear. You see, when we're giving what God's given us, we want a new epistle. It's something very simple. It's something that comes that seems immaterial that we can give away. So I've got a challenge for you this morning. This may be unusual. You know, an example, Mark chapter 6, so-called feeding of 5,000, there was probably 10,000 there with women and children and all that together. And do you know, they'd been with Jesus 3 days and they were hungry. That's quite normal, you know, but there was no Tesco Express there. They couldn't nip down the corner and have a quick bite. There wasn't any. There were 3 days in the wilderness. There was nothing. Jesus says, what have you got? And they said, oh, waste of time. Oh, then they said, oh, there's a lad here. He's got 3 little loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, okay, that's enough. That's enough. So this little lad gave what he had, and it was enough for 10,000 in Jesus' hands. You see, God wants to give you, he wants you to release to him what you can. Not what you can't do, what you can do. What can you do? He says, Jesus tests me of this woman. She did what she could with what she had. You might not have 20 grand to give. I haven't got 20 grand to give. But you may have a heart to go out to that lonely person, put your arm around them and say, look, I'm with you. So I've got a challenge for you this morning. And you may think I'm potty, but I don't. Not worried much now. I thought, how can I make it as Scottish as possible? So you're going to laugh at this, but anyway. So I got a Scottish loaf of bread, and I've cut it up. And just in case you think I'm wasting a loaf, I'm not, because it's pretty stale. So I want you to, this morning, here it is. There's a lot of pieces there. And what I want you to do, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to do, he wants you to all take a piece. All take a piece. I hope there's enough. I cut the loaf into as much as I could. He wants to take your piece, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pray a tape just for a few minutes for you to listen to. And then during that time, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what can I do with what I've got that I'm not doing already? And just ask the Holy Spirit. And then when he's told you, I want you to come out. We'll have this as the altar, by the way. And I want you to put your offering in the basket. See what I'm doing? You take, we might need that piece, might we? Okay, so we're going to play a tape for a few minutes. I'm just looking at time. We've plenty of time. I'm going to play a tape, and I want you to listen. And it's about the alabaster box and giving. And as you're listening to that, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what is the small thing that I can give to you, Jesus? And it might be giving to other people as an expression of that. It's completely up to you and the Holy Spirit. And when you know that, I want you to come and get your peace. And I want you to put your peace in Jesus. And he says, thank you for my Scottish peace. Okay, we're going to put the tape on for a few minutes. Just listen to this tape.
Thank you.
Anybody not had a chance to put their thing in? I want to pray over it. If you're not sure, that's okay. Right, can I have one of the leaders of the church come out and help me? Come on. You see, that young lad gave what he had. It wasn't much amongst 10,000, was it? But he willingly gave what he had. Jesus is looking to give what we can give. And I trust whatever you've put in here this morning is an expression of what's at heart. You've done what you could. Now I'm going to, he's a leader in the church. I'm going to ask him to pray, because he's got more authority than I have here, to multiply this in the church and in your life and in the kingdom of God in this place.
Father, I just want to thank you for... for what you've placed in people's hearts and in people's lives, Lord. And I pray just now, Lord, that there would be a divine multiplication. I pray that that this offering would be a thing of beauty to you, and that in your hands you would multiply it greatly for the kingdom. I pray that people's lives would be transformed, both personally and in the lives of people that you come into contact with. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I want to pray, Lord, that this you would do with this offering as you did then. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I had some other things, but I think I'm going to leave it from there. I have some things prophetic, but I think I'm going to leave them. I think you've had plenty from Sharon Stone, except I think Isaiah 61 is quite important to you, especially about rebuilding all the ruins, and that's, I'll leave it there. You've probably got this much to work through already, so you don't need any more. I'm just going to pray and bless you. I'm not going to pray prophetically over people, but what I just think I can do is, if you want something to encourage you, if you come to the front afterwards, I'll give you a picture, but I won't interpret it. I feel God says it's time for you to interpret your own stuff. For God to speak something to you, what you've done this morning, he wants you to interpret yourself in the Holy Spirit. So if you want a quick prayer afterwards, I'll give you a picture. I've got 308 to choose from, 309, and I'll give you a picture, but I won't interpret it, and you go away and interpret it yourself in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you make the Christian life very simple. You're looking for generosity from our hearts. And this generosity from our hearts is giving what we could. She did what she could. And I thank you this morning that every heart has done what they could. They've given you their piece. Their piece of the jigsaw of the kingdom of God here. They've given it willfully and cheerfully. And we thank you, it's all different. Everybody's different, but we thank you, you accept this offering, this act of worship, and as we've already prayed, we're trusting heaven to multiply it in the individual lives, in the corporate life of this church, and in the kingdom of God in Scotland. We just say thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.